Thanks for coming to chapel on a day before break. I'm sure you have lots to do. My name is Carmen Schrockhurst. I teach in the Bible and Religion Department. I also direct a program called Ministry Inquiry Program, which in good Mennonite fashion has an acronym, so we will refer to it as MIP. And before I introduce our two student speakers, I want to play a little game with you that I'm calling Two Truths and Two Lies. Sometimes people play two truths and one lie, and you have to figure out which one's the lie. I'm going to tell you. Truth number one, I think most of us here this morning in this room would acknowledge that churches in this country need some help. We need to find new ways to respond with integrity to what's happening in our culture and the challenges that churches are facing. Truth number two, I think most of us in this room would admit that we learn a skill best by practicing it, not by reading about it or hearing about it. So the MIP program, I believe, combines these two truths. MIP is a way to test your gifts in a real congregation by doing real ministry with real people and working alongside a leader who has been in the trenches, so to speak, for a number of years. It's also a way to learn by doing, not by reading or hearing. So today we're going to hear from two students who participated in MIP this past summer. But before they come, I want to just say, clarify the two lies about MIP. Lie number one is that you have to be a Bible and religion major. That is not true. Lie number two might be that you need to be a Mennonite, and that is also not true. This program is designed for anyone who's interested in testing gifts and calling to ministry, anybody who has a passion for working with faith-based settings and congregations. MIP is funded in part by the Mennonite Church USA, by EMU, and by the student sending conference and congregation, as well as the place where you're going. And you can earn up to $2,000 that's applied directly to your account at EMU or any other Mennonite college or seminary in the fall. You also could use the program to earn 3 academic credits, but sad to say you'd have to pay for the credits. So we're starting now to look at placements for this summer. If you have any remote interest or question, please talk with me. You can find me up front after chapel around campus. You'll see some pretty posters. If you go to EMU, to the Bible and Religion page, you'll find an online application, online reference forms, and my email. So I'd love to begin the conversation with you just to brainstorm. Today we're going to hear from two students, Andrea de Avila, who is a psychology and Bible and religion major, and she is from Ciudad Victoria in Mexico. And Andrea did her MIP placement with the West Union Mennonite Congregation in Iowa. And Andrea was also heavily involved this past summer in the Mennonite Youth Convention in Phoenix. Some of you might have seen her on the stage representing EMU really well there. Also, we will hear from Jordan Luther. Jordan is a senior biblical studies major from Martinsville, Virginia, and Jordan worked with Wellman Mennonite Church in Wellman, Iowa. And Jordan was on cross-cultural last spring, so we're happy to have him back here on campus. Now, if you're an astute listener, you might have caught that both of these placements were in Iowa, which is why Lana Yoder's in the front row this morning. No, you do not have to go to Iowa with MIP. That would be a third lie. MIP placements have been in Harrisonburg, in D.C., in various places in Pennsylvania, throughout Virginia, Arizona, and in recent years, we even had one in Bolivia. Catholic priest and author Henry Nouwen once said this about church and leadership. He said, "It's clear that a whole new type of leadership is needed in the churches of tomorrow. A leadership which is not modeled on power games of the world, but on the servant leader, Jesus." So Andrea and Jordan, thank you for being willing to serve and learn this summer, and thank you for being willing to tell us about what you did.
Howdy.
Well, howdy. Hey, Andrea, you know, I see you in class often. We have like contemporary theology together. I see you walking around campus, but I didn't get a chance to reflect with you about how your summer went. Like, what exactly did you do again?
Well, my summer was just fine. You know, I did MIP in Iowa.
MIP? What exactly could MIP be?
Ministry Inquiry Program.
Oh, okay. So is that one of those, like, church-related youth programs, you know, one of those many acronyms that the Mennonite Church has that I can never quite remember?
Yes and no. Okay, so it is a program funded by Mennonite Church USA and Mennonite colleges and congregations, but it is not limited to Mennonites. It's also not limited to working with a church or a congregation. You can work in a camp, you can come up or develop a project that you're interested in, as long as it's sort of like ministry related. I think, yeah, MIP would work for you.
Oh, that's really neat. You know, it. Come to think of it, that sounds really similar to like what I did this summer.
So what did you do?
Well, I did MIP in Iowa. I was, sorry, we wrote this script a little earlier. Yeah, I did MIP out in Wellman, Iowa. It was really cool.
So you were just kind of like down the road from where I was.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's see, you were in West Union, is that right?
Yeah, that church in Parnell, Iowa, on a gravel road in the middle of the cornfields. You know, I tried to find Parnell, but I must have missed it.
Yeah, the towns are pretty small out in rural Iowa. Yeah, I was in a small town of Wellman, and I'm pretty sure by driving by there along the road, I blinked twice, and somehow I ended up in another cornfield.
So, how did you like the Iowans? I mean, what brought you out there? I mean, like, out there?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I've always been interested in serving the church ever since I was a wee little kid. Many people that I grew up with always encouraged me to pursue pastoral ministry because they thought I would be pretty good at it. And then, as a student, I heard about MIP, and I thought, oh, I should really do that program. This would be a chance for me to test my gifts, to kind of see if what people are telling me are lies or truth. So that's kind of how I ended up with MIP. But as for Iowa, you know, I think Iowa is often an overlooked state. Many people, because it's out in the center, they just really don't give it a lot of credit. It's a beautiful state filled with slight, very, very slight rolling hills. And I've always wanted to go out to the heartland of the country. I mean, to see all of the beautiful grains, your corn, your wheat, your oats. Yeah, and you know, their state slogan, by the way, is fields of opportunity. So I really wanted to see what all these fields of opportunity were like. And I've heard such epic tales of the beautiful Iowa night sky, and I could just see myself, you know, spending my nights consumed by this cosmological canopy of the sky by night and serving the church by day. I mean, I would be bivocational. And, well, this also didn't take away from the fact, but my girlfriend actually lives nearby, so that was a big incentive to go to Iowa.
You know, you're right. I mean, people really overlook Iowa. Yeah. The beautiful sunsets over the fields, nice people, tight community, calmness around. Life is such a much slower pace than here out in the east, and you know, cute boys. And,
wait, what?
Oh, well, I guess I have to explain that I too was drawn out there by someone.
Oh, so you ended up in Iowa because of a boy.
Well,
is it just any boy?
Well, my boyfriend, but, okay. You know, like, well, I mean, we're getting married, but that's all, you know, the ministry work.
Yeah,
How about that ministry work?
So, well, you know what they say, Virginia may be for lovers, but Iowa's where you find them.
I definitely know what you're talking about. To be honest, I mean, besides, you know, having someone there and everything, it's such a welcoming community. I guess one of the things that surprised me the most about Iowa is just how forgiving they are. And whenever I made a mistake, it wasn't that often, but whenever I made a mistake, they would come to me and give me the feeling that I was being taken care of by the way that they were criticizing me. Like, they really wanted me to grow. Like, they would say, this is wrong, but you know, you're doing so great. We really like you here, so.
Yeah.
I mean, just that sense of the community and, you know, they take care of one another. It really made me grow spiritually and I guess professionally.
Yeah, it's great that you had that professional but also relational environment. I too had a really good experience while I was out in Iowa, and I thoroughly enjoyed being with Wellman Mennonite Church. The pastor that I was working with, Nathan Raymer, he was a really good mentor and friend for me, a younger guy still figuring himself out in his role at Wellman, only being there 3 years now. And as we were working together, we often discussed and contemplated how so much of pastoring is created around good and meaningful relationships, and how this goes such a long ways in maintaining a healthy church environment. And without this greater sense of trust, it is hard, basically near impossible, to communicate with your congregation effectively, let alone try to serve them or utilize their own gifts and how they can better serve the broader community. One of my favorite experiences from this summer is when Nathan and I started this Creative Listening Inquiry Project, or CLIP. Let me explain how this project worked. So the project's focus was to meet with all the church attendees. Yes, I said that, all the church attendees. Granted, there was only 80 of them, but still, it's still a lot of work. And this was not only members, but non-members too. And we wanted to hear from them and their experiences, experience of when church has been both meaningful and destructive. And I found this really important because as pastors, often we stand up here at the podium and you're always hearing our voice and you know what we think, but it was good to switch the roles and say, no, we'd like to hear what you have to say. And it was through this storytelling process that I got to grow and have good relationships with my congregation and understand them more. And likewise, this kind of mutuality existed that I really valued in working with the congregation. I really started to explore some of my gifts of pastoral care and how I can better serve those around me through an intentional listening environment.
Well, and how did you like those pastoral cluster meetings? So the pastors from a certain community come together like every other week and they discuss about the things that are going on around the community. Churches tend to get so, you know, focused on their own problems, and I thought this was a great way to maintain connected to other Mennonite churches in the area and to know the problems of the community. Also, the variety of things that they were having us do, you know, NYF, I led some NYF study, Bible study groups. I also taught BVS, and they even sent me to Montana to,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, to be audit the annual meeting that the conference was having. They sent me to convention. I mean, just a range of things that really made me think about ministry work from the other side.
Right. Yeah. And so you mentioned some of the things that were good in ministry, some of those positive experiences. How were you challenged this summer? What was hard for you as you were working with West Union?
Well, I was pretty challenged. You usually don't think about the amount of stress that a pastor has on his or her shoulders when they're working with a congregation. I mean, it's a lot of people to so-called please or to attend to, right? And it puts a lot of stress coming up with sermons, coming up with, you know, the line out, the outline of the services. Visitations, we did a lot of visitations to nursing homes and hospital, which I had to stop because I almost passed out. I don't like hospitals. But, you know, just knowing that all that they do, and sometimes we overlook the pastoral work as something really demanding or even valuable.
Right, or even like the often stereotype is a pastor only works 30 minutes a week, and I definitely learned that that's not the truth.
Not at all.
If only it was. But yeah, I totally understand, and I don't know about your context, but for me, I was only with one full-time pastor, so to see all the work that he has to put in a week doing the sermon work and visiting homes and going to the nursing home and networking with the community among other organizations that he's a part of. It takes a toll on someone, let alone all the like bajillion committees that any church has to have, and the pastor has to be almost on all of them.
Yeah, so it was scary. Do you think after doing MIP, you would think about becoming a pastor?
Yeah, even saying all of it, I really do think I could become a pastor. It felt good to have a lot of these gifts affirmed this summer and to really feel valued by those that I was working with. So not to say that I would want to make like a 40, 50, or 60-year career out of being a pastor by any means, but I could definitely see myself doing this at some part in my life. So what about you, Andrea? This seems to be like the million-dollar question at the end of MIP. Do you think you'll become a pastor?
I don't know. I definitely had a lot of time to reflect on what I wanted to do and if ministry was where I wanted to be. And one of the things that I discovered is that I'm not necessarily appealed to, you know, becoming a pastor. But I did discover my love for working in the ministry, either volunteering with convention, annual meeting, working with youth, speaking, like all those things that I still got to do while doing MIP that were related to pastoral work, but not, you know, exclusive of it. I think that helped me discover my real passion for ministry. And people think, well, when you go to ministry, you're gonna be a pastor. Or when you go to seminary, or when you do this kind of service project during the summer, it's because you're thinking of becoming a pastor. And I would say that's not true. It helps you reflect on whether or not you have a passion to work for ministry and not necessarily on the stereotypical, you know, boxes that people put ministry work in.
Yeah, and it's so cool that you were able to pursue ministry in such a different area outside of pastoral ministry, something that I think in the future that I would like to pursue for myself.
I guess, yeah, you're right. You don't have to come into this kind of work thinking that you're doing it because at some point you're going to become a pastor. I think you discover so much more about yourself and your spiritual life.
Yeah, agreed. Well, I think that's going to conclude our interview for this morning. I hope that you enjoyed it and have a great Friday.